Brothers and sisters, today the sermon is called The Mark of Fellowship. And fellowship is a word that we hear a lot in the church. It's something I think that that grow up in church are aware of. There may be other fellowships in the world, but the ones that I'm most familiar with are ones that speak of Christ Jesus. And that is what John is doing for us today. John is another one of the disciples who is lost in his sin, who is called to follow Jesus, and who has a book in the Bible named after him. I didn't mention that to the children before, but think about the fact of a man like Matthew, who was hated and despised by society, was given no hope by the people, the religious leaders of the day, wanted no part of them, offered them no hope, although they were of the Jewish faith. And he has now a Bible book in the great book of the Bible, the book that is most known in all of the world, and he has his name as the title of the first book that leads to Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a moment. The Bible is an amazing book, and it is an amazing testimony of how change comes about in people's lives. And it's all through Jesus. The gospel of Matthew, the good news that is found in Matthew. He is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in his book. And now we have John. And I believe that you'll agree with me that great things come in small packages, right? You don't have to have a big package to have a good gift. And this is a gift in a small package. It's just a small letter, but it is packed with good news. It is packed with good things. It's a true gift of God that John has written to you and me, to anyone who will hear it. And what does he begin with, right, in these words? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the gospel. The life was made manifest. That means that Jesus Christ is the Word, and he became a man, right? And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Jesus was with the Father, but then it was revealed to them here on earth. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy can be complete. That is amazing. We did not just talk about God, and we did just pray to a God in hopes that he was there somewhere, but we touched him. He was here, and we know him, and we spent time with him, we ate with him, we prayed with him, we learned from him, we worshiped him, we walked with him, we went out as his disciples to teach people about him. We witnessed him doing miracles. We saw people that were raised from the grave, that were dead and in the grave for days, and they came out alive. And we are talking about this kind of a connection, this relationship, this partnership with God that we made, that he made real to us by being here to show us. And in fact, not only that, but we saw him risen from the dead. So we know what we're talking about here, and we know that this is of utmost importance because he saved our lives from sin. And now we're here so that we can not just keep this to ourselves, but we want you to have what we have. And why? So that our joy can be complete. So if they don't share the good news of the gospel, if they don't share what they have, that they've seen, that they've touched, that they've tasted, that they've lived with and experienced, if they keep it to themselves and they don't give it to others, they won't have complete joy in life. And so they do it. He does it. He makes it known to them. He writes these words down for us, for anyone who will listen, and tells them, we are proclaiming it to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So it is really with Jesus Christ and the Father. And of course, we know also through the Holy Spirit that we are in fellowship, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in fellowship together, right? Let's take a look. Alfred, would you mind showing us the first couple slides there? We can take a look at this great word fellowship that is so meaningful for us and that John is using here in this reading. Okay, so the Greek word, right, for fellowship is koinonia. You can tell I'm not used to speaking Greek. Koinonia. It's translated several ways in the New Testament. Participation, partnership, sharing, or fellowship. And that's what we're using here. And that's what we want to learn about today as we are in this year of being united in love, right? Being united in love and then fulfilling our calling, living out our calling that God has given to us as his disciples. There's two meanings of fellowship. We'll just say fellowship so that I don't have to stumble on koinonia. But fellowship, there's two meanings here. First, to share together in the sense of joint participation or partnership. And number two, to share with in the sense of giving what we have to others. Right? Take a look at that for a moment. To share together in the sense of joint participation or partnership. Have you ever thought of yourself as being partners with other Christians? Have you ever felt that you are in a partnership with God? Today, we know that this is what it means, that we are in joint participation, partnership, and that we are also to share with in the sense of giving what we have to others. And we can just see how that is true with what John has said. He said, if I keep what I know and what I've seen and what I've experienced and what I know to be true about Jesus Christ to myself, then I am not in fellowship with God. I am not in fellowship with you. But if I do that, then I am living out what fellowship truly means in the Bible. And so we see that this is the place where God wants us to be as a church. Right? We are saved by Christ. We have that in common. We are all sinners. We've been saved by Christ, and we have come into fellowship with Almighty God. And as a result of that, we are in fellowship with one another, with other fellow Christians. We are in a partnership together in this great thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ, life, if you will. And then we also share with in the sense of giving what we have to others. And we're going to see that that expands into different things as well. Alfred, would you mind showing the next slide? John Stott, a fabulous scholar of the Bible, a man who dedicated his life, never married. He said, I prefer to take the advice of Paul and remain single so that I can pour out all of my energy and all of my life concentrated into helping other Christians to know what the Bible is about. Amazing. And if you read his book, Basic Christianity, in that book, he talks about how he himself came to faith in Jesus Christ. He was a sinner, and he was not a follower of Jesus Christ, but Jesus came into his life and transformed him. And you can read what he has to say in that book. We used that before for a discipleship class. It's a great book to read. But he says this, fellowship is a specifically Christian word. Interesting, right? He sees this as a specifically Christian word and denotes that common participation in the grace of God, that's the gospel, the salvation of Christ. But he's going to mention God, Christ, and the indwelling Spirit. In the grace of God, the salvation of Christ, and the indwelling Spirit, which is the spiritual birthright of all believers. That is the birthright. When somebody asks you where you were born, you can show them your birth certificate. I have my parents' birth certificates. I know that they saved mine, so I can take a look at it. But in the Christian life, we are reborn, right, through the grace of God, the salvation of Christ, and the indwelling Spirit, which is the spiritual birthright of all believers. Amen? That is your birthright. So if a person asks you about yourself, it's an excellent opportunity for you to share the gospel with them. If they say, where were you born? And you can say, well, you know what? I can remember it very well. God spoke to me and he told me that he loved me and I gave my life to him. My sins were washed away. And that's the place that I was born. That is my spiritual birthright. And they'll say, what? And you will continue to tell them how Jesus Christ tells us in his word, the Bible, that because of our sins, we need to be reborn. And you can go to the book of John, write the same author that wrote this letter that we're reading today, and say, this is where it says it. He was talking to Nicodemus, and this is what the kids are all learning, and that all of you have been learning, and these are the things that we want to share, so that others can be in fellowship with us in Jesus Christ. It is the common possession, he goes on to say, it is the common possession of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit which makes us one. If we want unity in our church, then we need to be familiar with these words. It is the common possession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit which makes us one. How are we living in our lives? We don't think about other people and say, that person has got to get their act together in order for our church to be in unity. It begins with moi, with me, with ourselves. We look at ourselves and we say, where are we in our lives? But because of our sinfulness and our old ways, we look at a person that we feel is causing disunity, and we feel if they'll only change, then we'll have unity in our church. And God looks down and he says, no, it's not designed that way. It's designed for each member of the church to look within themselves to see how they're walking. And if that is in connection with me, and if you're walking in a way that is in a way that I am telling you need to walk, then you will have unity in your church. When we are dedicated to him. Let's go to one more slide. Take a look. This is the last one for this scripture in John, and then we'll take a look at Acts. True fellowship. These are the verses that we just read in John. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. What have they seen? Jesus Christ. They've seen Jesus Christ living and preaching and telling them about the light of God, that he is the light and that they are the light and that people have to be saved from their sins. That is the first part. What have they seen and heard? They have seen Jesus Christ brutally killed on a cross, his blood poured out, and he screams out, it is finished. They take him off of the cross, they put him into a grave, and then he is raised from the dead after 3 days, and he meets with them. That is what they have seen. And this is what fellowship begins with Jesus Christ. What have you seen? What have you heard? How has Jesus worked in your life? That is fellowship with him. Amen? And so you too may have fellowship. We want to proclaim this good news to you, this message. And indeed, he goes on to say, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship, our partnership, our lives is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There is joy in our hearts now because we are sharing him with you. We need to practice that. We want to have joy. We need to practice giving people what we have. That's what the life of a Christian is about. And that's what a church is about. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So this is getting into the area of sin, and that is the part of the scripture that John goes into there to teach about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. He starts to talk about sin. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where I have heard people say to me that the generation that is alive today does not want to hear about sin. We have to reword it in some other way. I don't know how to do that. And I'm not ashamed of it. I want to reach the young generation. I want them to understand who Jesus is. I want them to, and I understand that it's hard because they are going through times where people and the society is changing and there's all kinds of things being thrown at them. But this is what the Word of God says. And the very fact that people are wanting to change things so that it's more acceptable to them is a sign of the lost generation that we're in right now. However, I was that way. Okay, so one of the falsehoods is to think that each generation is going to be described in some unusual way that is going to make them a particular kind of a way that we need to reach them. I say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the gospel is the same. And God is unchanging. And yes, we do have to understand young people. We have to understand people in general. We have to put in the effort to do that. We have to find ways to reach them, yes. But the message is the same. And if we take away from that, I believe God is going to hold us responsible for it. And so we engage, we talk, we wrestle, we pray on our knees, we pour out our souls to God and say, please save my children, save my loved ones, save my friends, save these other people, Lord, and we are involved in that kind of a way. But God also calls for us to tell them and proclaim to them what we have and what we've seen and what we've touched and what we know, how God has affected our lives, so that they also will be in fellowship with us. We don't want to fall into the trap that Satan loves to bring us of not mentioning Jesus for fear of making someone feel uncomfortable. He is the way and the truth and the life. If there's any problem, it's with us. It's not with him or his name. Right? So we want to make sure that we are testing our hearts. We're really examining our hearts. Are we ashamed of him? Are we really seeing him as being the true thing in life that brings us forgiveness of our sins and eternal life? Or are we going to say, you know, everybody seems to be against him, so let's not bring him up? We need to do some real soul searching there and see, are we living out what John is talking about here? But he says this: if we say we have fellowship while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We cannot live a double life. We cannot live a double life. We cannot say, you know, I go to Grace Church, and, you know, in my regular life, people don't even know that I'm a Christian. And actually, you know, I like to do things that other people do that I know are wrong. And so I just want to do that. But I'm going to attend a fellowship group at Grace Church, you know, because I like to get together with people and see them. Right? That isn't the idea here. The idea comes with a relationship with Jesus. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, it doesn't go together, you see? And this is one of the tensions in life, and God knows about it. Jesus faced temptation, but he overcame it through the word of God. And he remained steadfast in obeying his Father's will. It goes on. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see, he's talking about sin because he knows that that's what people need to know. Right? We need to know about that fact, but we also need to know that Jesus frees us from it. So we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we have fellowship with one another. If I come up to someone and I say, are you in fellowship with Jesus Christ? I don't know. You know, you have to be prepared, because if somebody asked me that, I would have to like really do some heart searching and say, wow, you know what? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked me that, because I haven't been. I haven't been. I've had an attitude towards somebody that needs to be brought into the light so that I can be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Right? I need to remember who it is that I am, and I need to examine those things each day to see, am I in fellowship with Jesus? Right? There's some people that would rather not go to church because they're walking in darkness and they feel guilty for being around other people, and they know this truth, and they say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'll just stay away. Jesus is saying, why not change the way you're living, come out of the darkness, come into the light, and then you can come and worship with me freely. Wouldn't that be a great way? Right? Instead of just staying away from a situation that you know you're going to be a hypocrite in, repent of the things that you've been doing and go and embrace the fellowship that is freely given to you through Jesus. That is what God wants. He wants joy. He doesn't want people to hide in the darkness. He wants people to come out into the light. And with that, we become these gifts of God that Matthew became. Right? We are filled with these blessings that God pours into our lives. Let's go on to the book of Acts. Okay, we can take a look at this, and this is going to be following after Jesus ascended to the Father. Right? And the Holy Spirit came down in power. There was the first church, and the first believers really were Jewish people who had come into the light. Right? And they what did they do? They gathered together. And take a look at what we see here in this powerful section of scripture in the book of Acts chapter 4. First of all, we see relationship and partnership, right? We were mentioning it's a partnership with this kind of a thing. What do we have as a theme? Unity and love. It says there that they were one heart and one soul. I was looking for hymns and different things that were talking about one heart and one soul. I didn't find one, so here we are. I'm putting it out there again. Somebody write a song that is talking about fellowship and encouraging people in churches to be one heart and one soul, and that we are together. Have you thought about your heart lately? Have you thought about your soul together? Yes, maybe you have. Have you thought about it in terms of being one with others in the church of one heart and one soul? Is there anything that you have in your heart that you're harboring against church or against people in church? Then you are not in fellowship with God. You need to let go of it and come into God's light and let go of all the things that have a hold on you and embrace the things that God is willing to give to you. But it begins with you going to God. It doesn't begin with thinking about the church. It begins with your walk with God. One heart, one soul. And God is going to take us there. I truly believe it, because God is faithful. Not because I have anything that I can do. And to be honest, there's no one in our church who can do that. It is only through Jesus who brings about one heart and one soul. Everything in common. That means nobody felt that their possessions were their own. They also had the belief in Jesus in common. Everything. Think about that. What do we have in common? Think about our church. Here you are. You have this white guy standing here preaching to people who are of mostly Asian ethnicity, but we have everything in common. Do you see how God overcomes all these things? We have a world that is talking about how, you know, all these things that are going on with racism, but Jesus is the answer, because he takes all of the people that he has created himself, and he was involved in the creation of every human being, Asian, white, black, red, all the different colors of people, and he made them all. Did he make them all so that they would fight? No. He made them so that they would have fellowship with him. And as a result of that, be in fellowship with one another. And that is what the gospel is teaching here. Jesus comes into lives and he transforms them. He takes away all of the hatred and the racism and the things like that. And he opens up the eyes of people and says, "And isn't that person beautiful? Why would I ever harm them? Why would I ever do anything like that?" But it begins with a heart that is transformed by Jesus Christ. And that is why it's so important for us as a church to learn this lesson. That we are not here for ourselves. We are here so that the gospel would be proclaimed. And that is what the next part comes in. With great power, they gave testimony, the apostles gave testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave testimony. We are in a week of Easter. Have you given testimony this week to someone who needs Jesus about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, begin to do it. If you haven't, then we are not in fellowship with God, and we're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're not in fellowship with each other. These are the things that are part of fellowship. Great power, they gave testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Great grace was upon them. The Lord was blessing them. We don't read anywhere in this that the people were all coming back and saying, "Boy, that was hard. Oh man, I'm glad that's over with. I got it out. I told somebody about Jesus." Right? Great grace was upon them. God was filling them with his Holy Spirit, and they were filled with this power of the resurrection that they knew was true and God had brought into their lives, and they wanted to share it. And then it goes one step further. Not only that, we were talking about this before, to share what you have with others, give to other people. They shared their material possessions, not a needy person among them. You know, one of the messiest things that we get involved with, in my experience since I've been a Christian in churches, is that people ask questions when the church wants to do something for someone. They go down a long list of, well, does the person work? Well, does the person really need that? Have they done all the things that they need to do on their own? Right? Does that person, you know, do they fit into my kind of requirements to be able to be given something? There isn't any kind of mention that here. There's a mention of saying that I don't own anything. And you know what? I own a house. And the apostles need money to live on so that they can proclaim Jesus Christ. So my house is going on the market, man. My house is going, my property is going what are they gonna have? Well, they have the community of believers. They have a fellowship. They have a partnership. They have this total buy-in so that they can do things together to proclaim Christ. They're not worried about their lives. They know that their future is secure in heaven. There was a great story of a guy who was there was a shipwreck, and this guy was in the water and he had a life jacket on. And there was another guy who was swimming and he was kind of, you know, flapping his arms around. He couldn't swim and he was just keeping himself afloat. And the guy told him, in that moment, the guy told him, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your savior?" And he said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Man, you know, then you need this right life preserver more than I do." And he gave it to him and he died. And that guy went on to become a Christian, and he told the story of what happened. You see, that guy did not care about his own life because he saw a need, and he gave that life jacket to the other guy so that he wouldn't drown and be lost into eternity. And those kind of examples of testimony are important for us because we need to learn to do that. We're way too protective of our own things, our own education, our own plans for life, our own, you know, retirement plan, our own investment of money. I gotta have this, I gotta have that. There's none of that here. And I know it's hard, and God is knowing that it's hard, but that's one of the tensions that faces us because of our sin. But God changes all of that, and he brings us into fellowship with one another so that we're not hung up on these things anymore. There's a need there. Give it to them. Give them more. And we're going to follow up with them. Just the story of the Good Samaritan ring a bell, right? Not only am I going to make time for him, but here's more money. And if there's anything that needs to be done, you let me know and I'll pay for it. That's community in Jesus Christ. Because he gave everything. I can heal people. I can perform miracles. I can do anything that I want because I am God. But I'm laying down my life because I see that as being the most effective way, according to the Father's will, to pay for the sins of all mankind so that they can continue to live. He took off his life preserver and he gave it to you and he gave it to me and he said, here, you need this because I know where I'm going. So that's fellowship. That's what fellowship is all about, and that's what God is telling us today in our church. So the mark of true fellowship, right, it begins with the Father and the Son. It begins with Jesus Christ, with a relationship with him. If you want to have fellowship, you don't say, I'm going to form a fellowship group. You say, I am going to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to then proclaim the word of God to other people so that they can also be in fellowship. And not only that, but I'm going to give to the needy. I'm going to see if there's things, practical things around that are going to be needed by people so that they can see that God is not just a God who wants to save you from your sins, but that cares deeply about your life. And that's what we want to do in our church. So we have fellowship groups, and what I'd like to say is for the fellowship groups, and we do have wonderful fellowship groups in our church, it's kind of redundant though. You know, I mean, when you say the men's fellowship or the women's fellowship, it's really redundant because we're in fellowship through Jesus Christ. But I understand why we call them that, because we want to say that we're coming together, you know, like that. And that's fine. But this is what we need to do during those fellowship times. We can come together and we can share a meal and we can enjoy that kind of a commonality and things like that. But we need to come together and see how we're doing in our Christian lives. How are you doing in your walk with Christ? Are you in fellowship with him? You're in the fellowship group here, but are your lives close to God? How are you doing in your life? Start there. And then we become one heart and one soul because we are open to hearing what other people are doing in their lives and what their needs are. If we come together and we just kind of, you know, cover the bases and we're going to make some things, you know, a list of things that we want to do this year and things like that, that's not bad, but it's really not fellowship. So what we need to do is start with the example that the church gave us when they followed Christ. We are one heart and one soul. We see that we all are saved through Jesus Christ and we have everything in common. So everything, you know, that I have is yours. We have everything in common. And then what's the next thing? We look for opportunities for testimony, not only to the people in the church so that the people in the church are fed, but we look beyond that and we say our fellowship needs to preach the gospel to non-believers. So our fellowship is going to be set up, first of all, to see if our lives are being, you know, one with God, one with Jesus Christ. Are we living in that way? Are our lives living in the light and not the darkness? And if not, let's talk about what is going to happen to bring that about. Secondly, testimony. We need to have a time to talk about what God is doing in my life, and we need to invite people who are not believers so that they can hear about it. And the third thing, of course, is looking for ways to help needy people in this world and say, this person has this need. Let's give it to them. Let's serve them. Let's look for ways to do that and ask less questions and have them fill out forms and say, if you meet all these requirements, we'll meet your need. That doesn't really jive with fellowship, does it? So we have work to do, and we need to have this kind of a framework that Jesus has given to us. And if we look at him, and in going to communion now before the table, which is really fellowship with God, it is a time of reflection in our lives. Where do we stand? Who are we? Are we in the light or in the darkness? We confess our sins. We lay it down before God, and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. and I receive the free gift of forgiveness that you give to me and that John mentioned in this letter, so that we can be in communion with God and with one another. And then we take the bread and we take the cup and we remember our Lord Jesus and we give thanks. Amen.